This is a CLNSradio.com special edition broadcast.
All right, everybody, welcome to a very special CLNS Radio trade deadline palooza, something like that. We got Celtic Stuff Live and Celtic Speak coming together to form the Voltron of all NBA trade deadline shows right here, right now on CLNS Radio. John Duke here, Larry H. Russell over wherever there is. The internet is connecting us, and we're here to talk to you guys all. Larry, how's it going today, and how are you feeling right now with about 30 minutes left until the deadline?
Just excited that it's just about ready to come and go, and I'm really excited that this is live. It feels like 1997 all over again, where you can actually brag about something being a live broadcast. Remember that actually being a big deal. Then when it sort of went away, everything's pre-recorded, taped. This is live, so I guess that's sort of what we have going on right now. Was it now 29 minutes to go to the deadline? Not much going on. I guess I have to say it right now. I'm making the only prediction. I don't think much is going to happen. How about you feel over there, John?
Well, you know, I think we were all sitting here a year ago doing the same thing, saying, oh, nothing's going to happen. Last minute, boom, this malcontent of a point guard is pushing his way out of Phoenix because he doesn't like what's happening, doesn't like the way that the Suns management has treated him, has treated Dragic, at least that's what we were hearing at the time. And somehow Isaiah Thomas gets traded to Boston. Then we think he's going to Philly. Then he's going to Boston again. All, you know, pandemonium. We're talking dogs and cats living together. It was nuts. And, hey, a year later, we got an all-star point guard under our control at a low salary for many years. Who knows what could happen? I mean, as a certain number five once said, anything is possible.
Anything could also be nothing as well, just so you know. Because I remember when I had Rajan Wojnarowski on Celtics Beat, we referenced that trade last year, the Isaiah Thomas trade, and how it came together very, very late, and it did. But at around this time, we knew, or at least there was plenty of meat out there, that was something that was going down. And I have to admit, I am watching Twitter myself, but I'm following a few counts. But one of the things that Woj brought up last year was how, with regards to the Thomas trade, that Goran Dragic deal that broke, I believe, around 1 o'clock-ish, that sent Dragic to Miami around 1 o'clock, that set off a mass domino effect with guys Brandon Knight, all the point guards being moved, and eventually 10% of the league was moved. As of now, there's really nothing going on whatsoever. From a fan, I don't want to say I'm disappointed because I really want to see all this action. It's just the sort of the way that it sort of comes and goes. I just look at it from a Celtic-centric standpoint, point of view, because that's personally all I really care about. And just looking at it from a fan standpoint, I look at really what the Celtics need to do. I'm just a little concerned that they are still holding on to all these draft choices. They have 8 draft picks going into next June. We all remember last year's draft where we were all very upset over the fact that the Celtics made all of those draft choices, and they ended up picking 4 players, 5 players, and stashing guys like Mickey up in Maine. Few other guys that really aren't doing much right now. I believe they have some guy, Marcus Thornton, who's playing in Australia. I don't know what Danny's going to do if he's going to let this deadline expire. I don't want to say I don't know what he's going to do. I just know he's going to be able to do something, but he's going to lose a lot of leverage going into the draft, John, if he's carrying 8 draft picks into that night in June.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. I mean, I think being the Duke fan in the room here, the idea that Justice Winslow was available, a possibility there, I was losing my gourd over that. And, you know, now, of course, you hear what the offer was, I should say. You've got to be surprised that didn't come to fruition. Again, I think it's very difficult because these deals, it's one GM to another. I was listening to Woj had one of his podcasts talking about with a number of different assistant general managers and GMs across the league, talking about what it takes to get a deal, how important trust is to get a deal. And you could see, I mean, you know, thinking about that and putting that deal in retrospect, you can see why a guy like Michael Jordan and a guy like Danny Ainge didn't have that trust and weren't able to bridge that gap. Ryan McDonough and Danny Ainge, very different scenario. So I think you're really, you know, we've got a real good situation, at least in terms of where Danny fits in the league. Does he have the trust from everyone else? So anyway, we've got the trade deadline. Again, nothing's happening. Nothing was ruminating. Not a surprise. It seems like we are in a situation now where people are going further and waiting further before they're making a deal. And so hopefully that continues. And hopefully for the Celtics fans out there like myself that want to see a deal get done, that's what you're hoping for. Maybe, with the culture of the league right now, people are afraid to make deals. Maybe there's a fear of that. It's hard to tell. We also are entering this summer where there's going to be a lot of money available for teams to spend. So are they thinking, well, if I can get through this year and I'm not one of those top five teams, I can go ahead and wait until I get to July, and then I'll add on. I'm not one of those five teams. I'm one of the other 25. I'll get my bump up in my jump, I guess, into the elite of the league once there's some salary space available. Hopefully that's not the case, at least for those of us that like to see the Celtics make a deal, and as Larry was talking about just a moment ago. But Danny has a chance to use some of these draft picks. I was very disappointed, like as we were talking about just a moment ago, very disappointed that there wasn't a deal to be made there. That trust didn't exist. Okay. But now we're entering a different situation. We've got three different young players on the roster on rookie deals. Hopefully, you might be able to try to get some sort of jump up in their trade values, whether it's Jordan Mickey or somebody as we come down the stretch. But then you've got three more number one picks coming on board, second round picks, all this cap space. It's right there for something to happen. And you look across the league, I would also argue, in the last 12 months, there haven't been a lot of scenarios, other than maybe Kevin Love, of a player maybe looking to leave, looking to force his way out. I think we're getting back to that point now as a league where players are looking to maybe look for greener pastures. And the Celtics are probably better poised now to get those players, whether it be a free agency or to make that quantum leap into an elite team now than they were a year ago. If they'd gotten Kevin Love a year ago, it'd be great, it'd be nice, okay, but they still would not have had the growth of other players in that roster. So that's going to pay off benefits.
How long is it going to take before Celtics fans jump back in with the Kevin Love talk if and when he doesn't get traded today? About 45 days? When's that going to reconvene again, in April?
45 minutes.
That's why I'm actually hoping so badly we hear all this talk like, oh, you don't want to have the Celtics to get a rental or anything like an Al Horford or any of these guys. Say a hypothetical rental. Like the Celtics are going to trade the next Jeff Bagwell for Larry Anderson. Oh, you don't want to see the Celtics trade a rental. You know what? I'm going to say for selfish purposes alone, I got no qualms whatsoever if they do trade for a rental, because I want to see the Celtics not just go deep in the playoffs just because we're both Celtics fans and everything. I want to see them go deep into the playoffs so that way we can actually reconvene Kevin Love talk in June and not pick that up again on May 5th as we've done in the past 2 years. So from selfish purposes alone, that's one of the primary purposes of the last 20 minutes of why I'm really hoping somehow, some way, a deal for a real difference maker gets done. Help the team and push Kevin Love talk back at least 2 weeks, at least closer to Memorial Day rather than reconvene it around tax day.
I know. And I think that there's definitely a need, at least on my end, to take a break from Kevin Love. You know, it feels like this is the song that never ends here. And I'm not a huge believer. I don't think he's the piece either. And I don't think Danny Ainge thinks he's the piece. If he did, he'd be willing to give up.
He probably did at one time, but I think there's a lot of ample evidence now over the past year and a half that he's not going to be the piece, and there's going to be someone else that Danny Ainge is going to have to look for.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. I think that's absolutely the case, and that's something that for my benefit, I think that means that I think that's a good thing, because I wasn't sure that he was the piece going back when the first time around this all came up. So I think it's a good thing. Let's do it.
Audible is a leading provider of audiobooks with more than 180,000 downloadable titles to choose from all types of literature. To get a free audiobook on behalf of CLNS Radio, one audiobook you should definitely consider, Augustus, biography by Pat Southern. Get a free 30-day trial at audiblepodcast.com/Celtics. That's audiblepodcast.com/Celtics. Fire away the first caller.
Well, yeah, who, first of all, thanks for joining us. Who do we have on the line?
I know I'm a little late to the party. You guys could scold me since I'm the one that scheduled the show. But, you know, we're just kind of waiting on it. I'm telling you, I'm not totally I've not totally given up hope. I know we're coming down the wire, but, you know, they can schedule another 30 minutes if something comes in. And I think Danny just puts his cards on the table and holds his line. And if somebody wants to discuss something, then maybe it pops up. But you're right. It's increasingly looking like nothing's going to happen, you know, in like a lion and out like a lamb.
We have to have some sort of gentleman's bet because right now it's 2-1. I believe nothing's going to happen. Looks like Justin's a little more on the line of he's taking more of a moderate stance. And John, do you still believe something's going to happen?
I do think something will happen. Something minor, but I think something will happen. I can't imagine Danny sits this out. And I think that generally across the league, it seems to be deals get done at 2:59. So I think something small will happen. Hopefully something that opens up time for now. I'm not thinking he's going to be a starter, but I think Jordan maybe needs some time here, and I think there's going to be a deal to open that up for him. So Markieff Morris, I don't know if Larry saw this because he's going to be checking Twitter, but I wanted to just make sure we mentioned
David
Markieff.
I saw it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There could be the first domino because that's who Woj specifically mentioned about a player being a domino because all the losers who lost, quote unquote, lost out on Markieff Morris now could make a move for a big man, but maybe that's the first domino to fall or maybe that's the only thing. What do you guys think?
Well, they have a disgruntled player coming to the Wizards, and we heard earlier today that Gilbert Arenas wants to come back and see Kobe's last game, right? So, you know, maybe they can bring Arenas back in with Markieff Morris and just kind of pick up where they left off a few years ago. I don't know if that's a good move for them or not, but I hope it is the first domino. I like Markieff as far as a player, but, you know, when you talk about disrupting the chemistry on, like, the Celtics, I wouldn't have wanted him here by any means. You know, I think he's probably, you know, worse off than Boogie in many ways. But, you know, everybody gets a fresh start. Do you guys think this is the domino? What about you, John?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, Markieff is, I mean, he's certainly talented. I'm honestly surprised that they were almost able to get a first-round pick for him. I thought they'd end up getting some sort of damaged goods, maybe some young players. Looks like Chris Humphries and Dewan Blair going out west, according to Zach Lowe, with the first-round pick for Markieff. So that seems to be a reasonable cost for Markieff Morris, a guy who's got some real talent, but a 10-cent head. So I'm not sure it's the domino, because I'm not really sure what his market was, because I think no one would publicly admit that they wanted Markieff Morris. But, you know, it certainly gives the Wiz something, and it certainly looks like they're a team that's going to be looking to build and keep it going. So hopefully it keeps Kevin Durant out of Washington.
I was just going to say that is clearly going to be the piece that lures Kevin Durant to D.C.
Well, I guess, you know, the other question, too, is does this, you know, do the Wizards take a step forward, because they've really struggled this season with Paul Pierce going out west and joining Doc Rivers, and they really haven't met expectations. They obviously felt some pressure to do something at the deadline. Now they have, but is this really going to be the piece that helps get them back up into that playoff race, or do you think they still falter towards the, you know, this last third of the season and continue to stumble and look to address issues in the offseason? Maybe start with you, Larry.
I don't really think this is much of an addition at all. This is probably a young team that isn't playing all that well. They're sort of rolling the dice here on Morris. He's not having a good season whatsoever. I know he had a very good season that year. The Suns surprised a lot of teams when they won, I believe, 49 games. But he's had off-the-court issues. I'm not sure if he's in the best of shape. I know he's in a quote-unquote bad situation down there in Phoenix. But when you're having – it's not like he's having a down year. He's having a very down year. So right now, I think this is a psychoanalyzation of pretty much a marginal trade. It's really just the Wizards rolling the dice on a fairly young player. I think he's 25, 26 years old. Psychoanalyzation of a young trade. I don't think he moves the needle one iota whatsoever for the Wizards.
Yeah, but look at all the players coming out of Phoenix. It's a mixed bag, right? Because Dragic really didn't really help Miami all that much and hasn't had an awesome season this year. But then you look over at Isaiah Thomas, and he comes over, and look what he's done with the Celtics. So
got nothing to do with that magical Sun uniform, though, Jonathan.
Right.
It's got nothing to do with the uniform, though.
No, but you have to say that players coming out of Phoenix, it's a mixed bag whether or not they're being underutilized and whether or not that environment is not conducive to players playing at their top potential, right? You know, I mean, Isaiah wasn't an all-star last year. Then at the same point, Dragic is not that successful this year. So, again, I think it's a mixed bag. I'm not saying it's just tied to the Suns, but I am saying the Suns, how much roster turnover have they been through, let alone Marcus Morris's twin brother?
Too much. But, you know, the thing with him going to the Wizards, one, it's another bottom tier of the East team getting better, which seems odd. And two, it actually gives the Wizards a player who can play stretch four, which they really don't have. They've gone two bigs and, with Gortat and Nene. Now they have a legit small ball four. Now what are they going to do with that? Can they make a run here in the second half? My guess is this is the last stand for Randy Whitman either way. So I think it's a good move for Washington probably, because if it all fails, they're going to fire their coach. Does it mean that they lose some chances with Bradley Beal? Does it make them roll the dice and become more of a gamble to get Kevin Durant? I think it's a risk, but I think it's a risk worth taking for sure. And you know, if I'm Washington, I do that. I think right now Phoenix is a dumpster fire. I mean, they've got to do whatever they can to clean out and start fresh here and get as many picks and young players as they can. DeJuan Blair and Humphreys don't fill that, but that's just salary filler to make the deal work.
Yeah,
I think it was actually a pretty good deal.
Do you think they should just go Philadelphia West then? I mean, the amount of turnover year after year, don't you think you just go all in?
That was their original plan.
Well, then
why
didn't they
execute? Well, because they won 49 games 2 years ago. That year they won 49 games, I believe Vegas set their over-under at 16.5, and they exceeded that in the middle of December. And that pretty much changed what they did entirely, and they tried to make a run at it last year, and they signed Isaiah Thomas in the offseason. They went into that year with three guards. It never really worked out. They had to blow their team up at the deadline, bringing Brandon Knight in. They shipped out Dragic. They shipped out Isaiah Thomas. And that really just almost – it's almost like that 49-win season really messed them up. And now, yeah, you're right. It looks like they're now going to have to do the original Philadelphia plan, which is what they were supposed to do 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's go to Chris. He's been waiting patiently, and I think he's in a better cell now. Chris, welcome to the show again. And, talk to us. I know you were trying to bring up the Jackie Mack interview. Maybe pick that up where you left off.
Yeah.
Got about 5 minutes before we go to Elrod Enchilada, who's joining us from Real GM.
All right, that sounds good, guys. So I'm in a much better place here. So I got a chance to look it up. So here's my contention. Kevin Love has looked like a fool. Everyone's laughing at him. He's been embarrassed. So the perception of him has gone way down. But the stats are the stats. This year, he is 12th overall in the NBA in real plus minus, and he is 14th in the NBA in wins above replacement. He is also second overall in power forwards to Draymond Green in real plus minus this year. Okay? And he is third in wins above replacement. Not to mention the way he rebounds. If you remember him in Minnesota, what I loved about Kevin Love is the way he rebounds, the way he outlets the ball. No one in the game can do an outlet pass like Kevin Love can do an outlet pass.
Are you making a projection right now with this?
Danny values Kevin Love a hell of a lot more than the public does, because he knows that someone who's 27 has a better defensive rating than he does offensive rating and has the 14th best rating in the league right now. You know, it's just like Kelly Olynyk. He looks like shit on defense, but he's actually got a good rating because he plays team defense. He hedges, he helps. So that's my prediction, guys. As far as the Markieff Morris, is it Markieff or Marcus that got traded?
It's Markieff.
Markieff, the one from the Suns. can't believe they paid a first-round pick for this guy. He just – what did he threw a towel at his coach this year, and he's been, like, just a complete, you know, wreck of a
teammate.
That's
the Suns' tradition,
and,
though.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. I guess that's true, but, you know.
Yeah, Robert Horry chucked the towel at Danny Ainge. I think that's the only thing that's happened in NBA history.
Today.
A Suns player throwing towels at their coaches.
Danny, can you believe that Danny Ainge, he's the one player who didn't get to go to the Grateful Dead concert when Bill Walton invited the team because his wife wouldn't let him as he's a Mormon. But he's, you know, punching players, throwing towels. He's crazy.
Yeah, he wouldn't have liked it when you curse on air a few minutes ago, Chris. You're not allowed to curse around.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize we're on the FCC here. My bad.
No, it's just when Danny listens to the show because he's obviously probably not doing that much right now.
Good point.
He's probably listening to us.
But so, guys, I would give up the next pick. I would give up the next pick for Kevin Love. Last night, just as a quick aside, this draft, you're watching this draft, I'm excited about if we keep that next pick. We have a top five pick, and we're going to get some good players. Bryce Johnson is a beast, 6'11", great hands, quick jumper, strong with the ball, great touch. He had 30-20 last night against Duke. Brandon Ingram had 20-10, including big-time shots down the stretch. He looks exactly like Kevin Durant, the way he can drive, pull up, mid-range. No one can contest that shot.
You are talking John Duke's language right now, dude.
Yep.
So last year, no one thought Karl Anthony Towns at the beginning of the year was going to be some big-time prospect. And look what happened. So I guess, you know, there's only good decisions here, guys. How great are the Celtics in the position that Danny has put them in? Honestly, it's in Danny I trust. I mean, he brought us a ship and then turns the aging assets around to get us to where we are today, and we're deciding between keeping a top five pick and trading it for one of the top 15 players in the league. I mean, wow. I don't
John,
know.
Take it, John.
No, hey, preach to the choir. You know, can I get an amen on that? I mean, absolutely, Chris. I mean, there's so many pieces of this that are good, and that's why you don't, you don't shoot it all, go for it all right now, right? You don't blow it all right now on somebody who's going to be a middling impact on a year where you really aren't going to compete for a title. You know, that's why, you know, while it's kind of exciting and it's interesting to, you know, to be in the mix here on a day like today, the truth is, to be able to do just as you're laying out, you gotta be smart and be savvy about those deals. If you can get a guy like Isaiah Thomas, you pull the trigger. But if you're going to get, somebody like, I don't know, Channing Frye, not so much. To be able to have that conversation and to get a guy like Brandon Ingram, hello.
Totally right. Danny is cold and calculating. That's why he's great. He's not going to get swept up in the emotions like we are. I'll be honest, I'm super pumped for today, but I also know in the back of my head, Danny's not going to do something emotional. And that's kind of a nice feeling to have as a Celtics
fan. Well, I think Danny's whole thing is he values it, and I don't think he really – I think, you know, trader Danny is maybe a little overrated from the standpoint of – I think we've read it, and I think it was Sherrod's article, but essentially what they said was, hey, you know, Danny basically sets a value. He lets teams know what the value is, and then, you know, they can call back if they want to do the deal. And I think he probably doesn't – do a lot of posturing and negotiating and a lot of back and forth. I think they have some conversations. I think he pretty much gets in the ballpark of where he's willing to go. I'm sure he leaves something in the tank to be able to close the deal. But, you know, the thing that's in the tank isn't going to be the Brooklyn pick this year, right? He's either already told, you know, the teams that I'm willing to give up that pick for this player. I'm not willing to give it up for this pick. I don't think he moves on that stuff. And so, you know, you're really kind of at this point, and we're 2 minutes before 3 o'clock when Elrod's going to join us.
I want to get a quick thing in. I want to get a quick thing in on a trade I could see Danny making today. Just real quick here.
So
the kind of player that I really want to see the Celtics get is someone like Shabazz Muhammad from Minnesota. This guy, he's 6'7". He's athletic. He went to UCLA. He can post people up on the block. He can shoot the three. He's a streaky shooter, but he can shoot the three. He's strong, athletic. There's no reason why he can't be a good defensive player if he's put in the right position. And honestly, guys, I'm worried that Jay Crowder is not going to make it through the season alive the way we're depending on him right now. You know, this guy's given us so much every day, and he's already starting to get a little broken down here and there. And so, you know, we need to give him some relief. So James Young's got to step up. RJ Hunter's got to step up and provide some relief for him.
That's not going to happen. I mean, I have a lot of faith
in
the squad, Chris,
like
but there's
Muhammad
no way that's going to happen at the level that they need to finish down the stretch.
No,
they
have
to, they have to stay in position on this third seed, and if they can, they need to move into that second seed, which is going to be a real stretch. But there's no way – I mean, I love those guys, and I think, you know, I have a lot of hope for them down the line, but there's no way they're going to wind up, you know, taking five, even six more minutes – out of Jay Crowder's rotation.
No, you're right.
And
you're
this
right.
Team's going to finish strong enough not to face Cleveland in the first two rounds. Yeah.
No, you're right. But that's why we need someone like Muhammad. I mean, this guy can score. He's instant offense. And also, lastly, about Al Horford, here's the one thing I'll say. His stats are never great, but if you go look at the plus-minus on each box score, you will always see him at the top of the Hawks on the plus-minus. He'll grab 9 points. He'll get 9 points, 8 rebounds, you know, 4 or 5 assists. You look two blocks. You look at the plus minus. He's like plus 14, plus 15. So, you know, he's no chump. He doesn't look great, in, you know, just from a first glance. But if you know the game, you know that he does everything well.
Absolutely.
So
hey,
he can be so flexible. All right,
Chris, great call, man. Great call. And
got to jump in here real quick,
guys. I'm all about Horford. Let me just close this point. I'm all about Horford, but I agree with all the sentiments about having to pay him this summer. I'm not sure he's going to be that guy 5 years from now.
Well, just to jump in here real quick, Mark Stein has put out a couple tweets over the course of the last four minutes, basically saying that Pau Gasol is pretty much staying in Chicago and Al Horford and Dwight Howard staying where they are as well.
Yep. It looks like it is going to – It's going to be a nothing deadline, which it really was 2 years ago, and it's usually how this all goes down. And I know Elrod Enchilada is going to be joining us. Why don't we just bring him on right now? Elrod from Real GM, how are you, my man? It's been a while since John and I talked to you, although I know you've stayed in close touch with Larry over the years.
Indeed, I have. And it looks like no action, huh?
Well, that's what it's looking like. I mean, if there's any action and there's anything going on with a request for an extension on the deadline, we're going to know on Twitter in the next 5 minutes. So we'll definitely be able to put, you know, the cap on that concept while you're on the line with us for sure.
Yeah, well, last year at this time, Miss Thomas came out of the blue, like, way up in overtime.
It definitely did. So Elrod, what do you think? I mean, okay, maybe we're running out of time. Maybe it happens. Maybe it doesn't. But are the Celtics better off having not made a trade in general? I mean, obviously, if they get that all-star caliber player, you know, they bring in, you know, somebody like Boogie Cousins, all the guys that we know really are off the table. Are they better off? I mean, especially after the comments of Jay Crowder the other day saying, you know, the starters all together as a team are the superstar.
Yeah, I mean, I think unless, you know, you can get someone who's going to make you a legitimate title contender, really elevate what you've got. And there's no one out there, I thought, that did that. Or if they did, they were going to be free agents in the summer and they're going to be on the wrong side of 30. I think Danny did the right thing, unless he got an absolute bargain like he did with Isaiah Thomas last year. I sort of thought that Houston might be in bargain mode because I don't know if they're going to really want to re-up Dwight Howard. But apparently they're not in bargain mode.
Elrod, I know you have always been sort of one who always asked Danny to stay patient, but is there a little concern, I mentioned this with John in the opening, that it sounds like Danny's, well, it doesn't sound like, it doesn't really look like the Celtics are going to be making the deal. Are you at all slightly concerned that Danny's going to be taking 8 picks out of the draft next June and would mean that said picks would lose value going into that night because every 29, 30 teams, whatever it is in the league, knows that Danny has to move some of those draft choices?
Well, that's a problem. I mean, that is a concern I think he has. Probably that would have been incentive for him to drop a couple of his low first round in a couple seconds if he could, you know, get a good player for that. But I suspect Danny was thinking like that. But we do have a lot of time before the draft, and there are a lot of teams that really want draft picks badly. So I think a worst-case scenario for Danny in the 2016 draft is he'll take 3 or 4 of those 8 picks, assuming he can't package them to move up, and simply trade out and get later picks, similar picks a year, 2, 3 later in the draft. Because there are a lot of teams that will want to be into this draft, especially as it draws closer. And Danny's going to have a lot of appealing picks. I don't think he'll have to lose them. The other thing is I think this looks like a decent Euro crop for second rounders. You don't know who's going to fall, but you know, there's nothing wrong with following the San Antonio model of having the 20 guys that you own rights to in Europe, then you sort of cherry pick your Piaggio splitters or your Manu Ginobili's as you need them.
Yeah, actually, I was making a joke with someone on the other end the other day that Danny Ainge has 5 second-round picks. Now, second-round picks you can sell pretty easily, though, because they're non-guaranteed contracts. But I made a crack with someone like, I don't think there's enough international leagues in the country to be stashing away more players like Ben Pepper with a throwback name and, of course, Marcus Thornton this last year.
Yeah, but, you know, it's hard to say. Danny has not been a big international guy to date. He's been less inclined to go that route than other GMs, other successful GMs. But it seems like he might be changing his tune. Just sort of the rumors we periodically see. It looks like he's very intrigued by Dragan Bender. He's been a lot of time sizing him up. And that's a very high likelihood candidate we'll have a shot at in the first 4 picks of the draft.
Yeah, and I know that it's good to talk with you, Elrod. It's been too long. This is John. I was just, you know, as we look towards this draft and looking at Bender and looking at these guys, you know, the one debate that Justin and I have had often is the value of that Brooklyn pick. Because I still believe even after the lottery, assuming there isn't something we don't know about that's already been worked through, they're going to go into this lottery and they're either going to be the 5th pick or they're going to be the 1st pick, somewhere in between. Once there's some certainty with that, how important is it, do you think, to get a known quantity? Maybe a player that's not elite, maybe not somebody just going from the reports that Steve Volpett has talked about with, you know, maybe Blake Griffin is a guy they look at for that Nets pick, but not, you know, some of the other guys, Horford and the like, or Kevin Love. How important do you think is it to get a known quantity, maybe somebody like Gordon Hayward, a younger player under a contract, or, you know, rolling the dice a bit and potentially maybe getting one of those elite players that really are transformative through their generation?
My basic instinct is that right now Danny's got to be looking for the transcendental superstar, not just another really good player. The reason I think that is that Danny's done a superb job, and give Coach Stevens credit too. You know, they don't really have any weaknesses. I mean, they've got a 3-man guard rotation, and they've got some interesting kids who might develop, but they really don't have any spare time at the guard position. They've got 2 wings in Crowder and Turner who can play. They might lose Turner, but, you know, Crowder's not going to the bench for anyone, so I don't know where Gordon Hayward gets his minutes, and I like Gordon Hayward's game. And you look at the bigs, you know, they've got some interesting guys there with Sully and Olynyk, and Amir Johnson's got another year. So he doesn't really have any pressing needs. I would say basically he needs to either hope he can score Ben Simmons or someone of that caliber in the top of the draft, or in free agency, you know, have enough of an impressive team with a good run in May that he can go to Kevin Durant and say, Kevin, we put you in here, and, you know, you're going to be God in Boston along next side Bird and Garnett and these other guys.
But don't you think there would have been a lot more value had the Celtics been a little more aggressive in getting a rental player if they were actually, dare we say it, not even, I don't even want to mention Durant's name, it's almost like mentioning Jesus Christ's name to come to Boston, but even any other free agent as well that would just come to Boston. If you got a rental player, made a run to the Eastern Conference Finals, I mean, I think it goes without saying that Boston just becomes that cell on its own.
Well, I think the rental players were Horford and Howard, and I don't think either of those guys do the job. I think if you could have gotten Blake Griffin, who I'm a big fan of, despite what it seems like some weird immaturity issues. If you could have gotten Blake Griffin, that's another matter. But he's not a rental. He's under contract for a couple more years. And it doesn't sound like Doc is stupid enough to trade him.
Because I think there's the rumor that is going around, or not even the rumor, when I talked to Adrian Wojnarowski on Celtic Speed on the episode number 143, I believe, when there were those rumors going around regarding Griffin, he said point blank that he expects the Clippers more so to looking to trade him in the summer, because they're going to take one more final run with this team, not because they really like where this team is at. They're obviously very far behind where Golden State and San Antonio are, but they're going to take one more run at it with this team and then explore trading Griffin in the offseason, which seems more than likely. But of course, I mean, that's where the Celtics are. In that, they would probably have to work out a 3-team trade, and then that also goes back to the fact that the Clippers want to hold on to it so that way they can make a run at Durant themselves.
Well, Danny will have the capacity to make that deal. It wouldn't even necessarily have to be a 3-team trade, given all the cap room the teams will have to play with, including the Celtics. See, I think he can probably work up some sort of deal. You know, but the Celtics have a lot of – where I agree with Jay Crowder is right now, we've got a lot of interesting young guys. I still want to see more. I really want to know what we to make of Solinger in Olynyk. And I like lots about their game, but, you know, are they the real deal? Are they guys you can actually win a title if they're your third or fourth best players? Not clear to me yet. And, you know, Danny's going to have to make some tough calls on Solinger this offseason, to a lesser extent Olynyk. But I wouldn't be – I'm not rushing to just replace them with an Al Horford at this point. He'll be 30 next year. I'm not convinced that's an upgrade.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, I love Al Horford. I think he's a great player. If we were on that the edge of that those five teams, I think Al Horford makes a big difference for us. You know, but we need a sustained period of growth. You know, and to have a, I think, you know, just as you were saying, a player under contract makes a big difference. You have a couple of years to grow. You're going to get. Supposedly you'll put Al Horford under contract for 5 years, but by the end of that deal, he's 35 years old. You know, and then by that point, Marcus Smart's 25. And where are you as a team if you do that sort of thing?
I've had no qualms about trading the Brooklyn pick for Blake Griffin. That would have been a no-brainer to me. Not only do I like Griffin's game, but also I think then we go into the offseason and we go call up Kevin Durant on July 10th or whenever you're allowed to talk to him, or first. And he's looking at a team with Blake Griffin and the guys we have now and the chemistry we have now and Brad Stevens. I think that Danny has a really – he's at the front of the line.
I think you're right. It's funny to say, it's not just about the talent you have on the roster, but it's that momentum you're building too, right? I mean, you're bringing in the momentum that got KG to buy into that. You had to get the Ray Allen to get the KG, and building mm-hmm. momentum as a team is important. And they're doing that on the court right now. But I think in a some sort of other sense, you know, some sort of a mojo, a non-quantifiable mojo, that Ray Allen did that deal. We're still waiting for Danny Ainge to make that equivalent of the Ray Allen deal, and they need to do that. I think that's true. Is there anybody else that you would point to, Elrod, maybe, as that guy, someone who might give them that next piece? Did we talk about Blake? Talk about any others you could think of?
Well, I think that piece is going to come now with either being the first pick in the draft or being a trade that Danny makes on draft day, like the Ray Allen deal. If he doesn't want to go for another rookie and he wants to really go all in, he trades a couple of these number ones for Blake Griffin in June. And then he clears cap space, lets Jarebko and Amir walk. And he's got enough cap space to offer a max deal to Kevin Durant. That's the sort of thing that could happen. I mean, obviously, I was wildly speculating. But I think that's how Danny thinks. I don't think he wants to bring in a bunch of kids. He's got a very young, talented team. At the same time, though, Danny loves talent. And if he sees, like, you know, a couple first-round kids who he thinks are better than the kids we have now, he's going to draft them. He's not going to torch great young talent just to be slightly better. He's playing for all the marbles. And he's patient.
I think it just becomes a money issue, though. You really, in money issue and a numbers issue, you don't even have the roster spots at this point to take on more guaranteed players. I know they have 8 draft choices. 5 of those are second rounds. 3 of them are in the first. I'm not even sure they can make 3 first-round draft choices again. And the only thing that I fear is, just like last year, how the Celtics literally put it out through their Twitter. I thought that was probably one of the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life, where they announced on their Twitter that they were trying to move up in the draft. Now everyone and their mother knows the same thing that's going to be the case this year, that everyone and their mother knows they're going to have to move up in the draft, and they're going to have to make a deal. I mean, that's sort of where I come at it with this, where it's like, oh, well, you know, you don't want Horford, you don't want Howard, you don't want this guy, you don't want that guy, because you don't want to overpay. There's going to be a time and place where Danny is going to have to make a trade as we get closer and closer to making these picks, where he is going to have to overpay. And if you were looking at it from a black and white standpoint, you might come away saying, well, geez, you know, Team X took the Celtics a little bit to task here. But I think that that's just going to happen. If I recall, with a history lesson, when the Lakers were putting together their dynasty team during the late 90s, Jerry West made a lot of trades where they lost, but it was okay that they lost when they were trading guys like Eddie Jones and Eldon Campbell for Glenn Rice, and there were a few other ones as well. They lost, but it just did a lot of things. It opened up more playing time for Kobe. It opened up more playing time for everybody. It opened up really more basketballs going to Shaq. I mean, that's where I just thought that I thought Danny should have been. I don't know if obviously we're not here on the inside. I just feel that he should have been a little more aggressive this offseason, not even worried about if a player was a rental or not, not worry about the guys like Asol or whatever or other players. Even if they gave up, say, three future first-round draft choices, I don't think Ainge should have been all that too concerned about it because he's going to have to move them regardless.
Well, I think there's a little more flexibility there. I think you can trade out. You can draft foreigners, international guys. I don't think you have to. You've got a lot of maneuverability, and there are 29 other teams that are going to want your picks and offer something in a pinch. The way I look at it is there are two stages for an NBA GM. You're either trying to get a superstar and become a contender, or you're already a superstar at the contender, and then you're going to do whatever you can to be a better contender and stay on top. And when you're in the former group, you have the long view, and you're constantly trying to, how do I get my superstar and be a contender? When you're in the latter group, you're just trying to stay on top. You don't really worry too much about the future because the present is all that matters. Danny, despite how well this he's playing, despite how enjoyable this team is to watch, and it is an absolute pleasure to watch these junkyard dogs out there, despite all that, this team is not a champion. It is not going to win the NBA title. Danny knows that. I'd love to see them do it, but the odds are 1 in 1,000. So he's thinking about, how do I get the player that makes us a champion? I think that's his obsession right now. It's either going to be the draft, it's going to be a trade, or it might not even happen, or it could be free agency. He's got a lot of maneuverability. We've got enormous amounts of cap room that he can play with. He's got draft picks to play with. He's got some really talented guys on the roster. So we don't know what he's going to do, but I would say he's got a full arsenal of weapons that no other GM really has. And he's not that far away. We're one superstar away from being a great, great basketball team, which is no small accomplishment.
Elrod Ancelotta, Real GM. Elrod, thanks so much for joining us, and happy to have you back on the CLNS airwaves.
Always a pleasure, guys. Keep it up.
Thank you, Elrod.
All right.
Before we get to one more caller, we've got to alert our audience of the TICIQ giveaway we're doing here at CLNS Radio. First off, we've got to give credit to TICIQ. TICIQ already has the cheapest tickets for all Boston sports. And now with their mobile app, you can save up to 10% more on tickets to any live event. You can set price alerts to be notified when tickets within your price range become available, as well as see all the top deals for games at the Garden, Gillette, in a few months, Fenway Park, and on the road. They aggregate all ticket sellers on one platform and have the most competitive prices out there. Head to the Apple App Store to download the TICIQ app and start saving today. That is TICIQ. Use the promo code BOSTON for 10% off your first purchase, or you can take a shot at trying to win Celtics tickets for remaining home games at the TD Garden. I know I'm going to be wrapping up a contest this week on the 21st, February 21st edition of Celtics Beat. Entry is simple to win tickets to the February 25th game against the Milwaukee Bucks. Winner announced this Sunday. Follow me at CLNS_LHR on Twitter. And John, I believe you guys have a contest going over at Celtics Stuff Live. How can fans win tickets to see the Orlando Magic on March 25th?
Yeah, we get really excited about that. All we're looking for is for our fans and listeners, get on Twitter. That's the best way to get a hold of us. What we want you to do is you can reply to us, you can comment on the show, ask us a question. All we're looking for is the hashtag CSL Returns. That's CSLRETURNS, and we just put that as the hashtag in there. We'll find you, and you can enter as many times as you like. We want you to spread the good word of our return back to the airwaves and back into your lives and onto your phones or iPods or whatever it is you listen to us on. Very excited about that. And thank you, Larry, for helping us and your own gift to help us get back on the airwaves. Very, very cool stuff.
All right, everybody. A lot of things coming from Twitter. There's still some deadline deals, but source did confirm that the Celtics are not making a deal today. So we're going to go to the Audible call lines, which are now open. Download Scribe by Bob Ryan on Audible or the book of your choice for free by going to audiblepodcast.com/Celtics. So now we're going to open up the call lines. We're actually going to have Bobby Manning joining us from Celtics Blog in just a couple of minutes, but we want to squeeze in a call. And so we're going to Kevin in Harrisburg, who actually physically is only about 20 miles away from where I am broadcasting at home today. So Kevin, welcome to the show. What are your thoughts on the trade deadline? Looks like looks like nothing's happening for the Celtics, and Jay Crowder and the rest of this team gets their wish, and no moves, no changes, and they get to continue on this roll of momentum that they've been riding since they started into the new year.
I'm kind of glad there wasn't a trade. Reason being, they're playing really great basketball right now. They're playing unselfish basketball, and sometimes you mess the chemistry up. It takes a while before you get that chemistry back, and before you know it, you might be down to the fifth or maybe the sixth seed. And right now they're sitting at the third seed, which is pretty good. And the whole tale of it though is now they got to go out west and play some teams out west. And I think they're built to play that type of basketball. The Kevin Love thing, I have mixed emotions because I think if Kevin Love were to go to Boston, he would probably be the Kevin Love that we remembered him in Minnesota, you know. But the thing about it is, what were we going to give up to get him? That's the whole key to the puzzle here. And I like what they have right now. Everybody knows they're basically maybe one or two players away from being able to unseat the Cleveland Cavaliers. But we got free agency coming up. We got the draft choices that we have. So I think waiting the summer, and I know there got to be a player out there that looks at him and say, "Yo, I could be the key to helping these guys get over to the top." And so I'm kind of glad that they didn't get rid of nobody because I was really on pins and needles. Then one day I want Kelly Olynyk to lead. The next day I want Jared Sullinger to lead. And then I'm looking at Lee on the bench, not happy. Then Zeller gets to play. He's playing great basketball right now. So I'm kind of glad they kept what they had. But now my question to you guys is, is there anybody that's going to get bought out that you think they might bring to the team to help secure another position?
That's a great, Kevin, that's a great question, and we're going to let you go, and I'm going to let John answer the question while we wait for Bobby Manning from Celtics Blog to join us, because he's coming on here any minute now. But John, I think that's an awesome question by Kevin about whether or not somebody gets bought out and maybe we can add a piece. I just think that the roster is already loaded so heavily that I'm not sure they're going to end up finding minutes for somebody, but still could happen.
Yeah, I tend to think you're right, and I think they'll look to do. They may try to add someone to end that 15th roster spot once they let David Lee go. But I think right now they're going to roll with what they have. I think they, if anything, they want to create some more time for some of the guys, the younger guys on the roster. See what they have in Rozier. See what they have in RJ Hunter. See what they have in Jordan Mickey. Those guys are trade pieces just as much as the Dallas pick and the Boston pick or for that matter, the Brooklyn pick. If they can add value to those guys, even more reason to be able to make a deal this summer before the draft or even in July. So that I don't think that they'll add a piece that will take minutes. There's already a bit of a roster crunch as is. So it's a great idea. It's a possibility. I think there'll be guys out there, but I just don't see there being any room here for the guys that'll be bought out elsewhere.
Well, there's already not enough room for David Lee, and are they really going to pick anybody up off the waiver wire that gets bought out that's going to be any better than David Lee? And, you know, like I said, that's already been an issue for this squad. David Lee is probably a likely buyout candidate for the Celtics, but not a guarantee. Definitely not a guarantee. I guess it'll kind of depend on, you know, what David Lee's agent says there is for interest around the league. And even with Kelly Olynyk's shoulder, it's looking like it's not going to resolve as quickly as they had hoped by the end of the All-Star break, that there may actually be need for David Lee. And why buy him out unless he's 100% not happy with, you know, playing for the Celtics, which has all indications are that's not the case. And he watched while Tyler Zeller waited on the bench for his opportunity. And, you know, we may not have seen the last of David Lee at this point. So, listen, we're waiting for Bobby Manning from Celtics Blog to call in and join us. We're going to squeeze in another caller, Nick from down in Florida. I've talked to you before, Nick, on the old post-game shows on CLNS Radio. Welcome to the show. What are your thoughts on the trade then? It's been pretty quiet, and it's going to stay that way. Sources confirm no moves for the Celtics. And again, I think most of the players on this team pretty happy about that.
Well, I think it's to be expected. But before I give my opinions on the trade deadline, I'd just like to give a shout out to CLNS for having this show. They've been breaking news that other stations have been pilfering from, even though the Al Horford trade didn't come to fruition. I know that I think it was Larry H that broke a story yesterday that happened to make its way onto the other news sites without credit. So I'm gonna be the man that gives Larry H some credit with that one. But as far as the trade deadline, definitely, I think what you're seeing is the classic case of the big names coming out first and, you know, flashing wildly and then trickling down into Markieff Morris. The last trade rumors that I heard for the Celtics were, is there any interest in Thaddeus Young? While I like Thad Young and I think that would be a cool addition to the team, doesn't move the needle. And I think
he's not Greg Monroe.
No, he's not Greg Monroe. He's not Moose. And this is about to be what I'm about to get into. Don't get me started now. So I'm going to try to be calm now. But I think what you see happening is the CBA changes, the salary cap jumps. And I've been screaming since last season, Danny Ainge, stop being a cheapskate and sign somebody. Throw money at the table because that money is going to be cheap come next offseason. Did Danny Ainge listen? No, he went and was cheap. We saw what Moose did in certain cases, other cases. And what we're seeing at this deadline are teams that have players signed for extended periods or for, you know, an extra 2 or 3 years. Those contracts are going to be very cheap when you see who gets signed for how much money this offseason. So all those names, Blake Griffin and Boogie and Kevin Love, while Kevin Love's contract seemed like it was big, while some of these contracts seemed like they were big before, they're going to be pretty cheap come, you know, this offseason. And those teams want to hold on to that. As much as they may be saying, maybe Sacramento might be blowing it up, we need a pick, or this or that or everything else. That is basically what I think happened, is those teams held on. All of those teams where there was, you know, possibility, even though there were reports that the Bucks, as much as, you know, Larry H. and I would have loved, you know, that the Bucks might have been willing to part with, you know, Moose and maybe Michael Carter, or whatever his name is, Carter Williams, for, you know, due to the underperformance of the team. They thought the team would perform better. And that, you know, maybe Boogie was just, you know, too much of a problem. George Karl might be at the door. We're going to get rid of Boogie, too. We're going to, you know, Al Horford supposedly was the one that asked IT, we assume, you know, at the All-Star break, what it's like in Boston, all these things. But in reality, the team, Al Horford's a bad example, but the teams that have players that are locked up already on those contracts that are CBA change, they kept those players, and that's wise to do. Danny Ainge could have locked up some of those players in free agency if he would have been willing to open up his purse strings, but the articles that I read, even going back to last year, were all about Danny Ainge wants to keep his financial flexibility open, and I think the issue was not signing somebody to a long-term contract in the event that we might need that money for somebody else. But it's turning out now, when you look back on it, signing players like Greg Monroe, or signing players like, you know, Blake Griffin, or signing players like Kevin Love to those big contracts last offseason are paying off now, because those big contracts are not as big with the new CBA.
No. Nick the Machine Gun from Florida maximizing his minutes with the call-in. But it's a great point. This concept of overpaying is really overblown. Totally overblown. I was never worried about it with the CBA busting open. And you know what? Why don't we just go to our next guest, who's Bobby Manning from Celtics Blog, joining us now, and kind of get your take, Bobby, on all that. You know, all you heard about was concerns of overpaying some of these guys, but, you know, really with the CBA opening up, it's not a legit concern, is it?
Yeah, that's a concern I heard about too, with, you know, some of the expiring contracts that might have come in today, such as, you know, an Al Horford, a Dwight Howard, was the fact that they might have had overpay for one of those guys. But, you know, once you get those kind of guys in here, I don't think that would have been as much of a concern, especially with some of their cap space.
Hello, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can. I didn't know if we had like a technical glitch. No, we're good. Yeah, I agree. And I know I saw you on Twitter, and you said you had a lot of thoughts you were kind of reserving for the appearance on the show. So, you know, I don't want to hit just sort of the common easy ones, you know, that to set you up there. But, you know, at the same time, are you surprised that no deals got done? Or was this sort of where you thought this was all headed anyway?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We saw a lot of Celtics names moving around today, but not current Celtics names. Joel Anthony moving, Marcus Thornton, and Jeff Green more recently, and Chris Humphries went west as well. But this is kind of what I expected. You know, I wrote the other day that the Brooklyn pick is just so valuable, and Danny Ainge has been coveting it so much for a while now. And, you know, it gives them a chance to buy into this team this year. The team has been performing so well as have hope for the offseason of being able to acquire a star player through the draft. And, you know, I think that's what they're banking on. There's still not going to be an opportunity to move the pick heading towards the offseason. And there may even be a chance for them, depending on how the lottery swings. It hasn't swung their way very often in their history. But depending on how it swings, they may have a chance to pick up a very good player. And I don't think that's an opportunity they were going to be passing up on for an Al Horford or Dwight Howard or even a Kevin Love.
Bobby Lowry, H. Russell Steele on S Radio. But looking at it from a fan standpoint, are you at all disappointed at all that the Celtics didn't make a move, or you just sort of say, hey, listen, Danny Ainge didn't really have anything available? Seems like that a lot of the noise that we heard prior to the deadline it was really just mainstream media interest trying to drum up that there was all this action going on the trade deadline. So, of course, that way you were going to watch their shows and follow their people on Twitter. But it seemed pretty evident that there was never any substantial discussions that ever took place, particularly over players that could have really done anything for this franchise. But still, are you at all disappointed? I'm going to ask you, Bobby Manning, the fan. You were disappointed at all that there really was no action at the deadline.
The one deal that I'm really kind of disappointed never picked up much steam, and I wrote about it yesterday, was Al Horford. I think Al Horford would have been such a nice fit with this team this year. I mean, a great character guy, a two-way player, both ends of the court, pace and space. I think he would have been awesome in the Celtics system. I was really interested in seeing what he would have been capable of. And, you know, I liked him even more than, say, a Kevin Love, who people have been talking extensively about for 2 years now. I mean, he's a better
I've never
defender.
Heard I've never seen enough images of people photoshopping Celtics jerseys on Kevin Love. I've never seen it in the blogosphere. I think that'd be a great idea.
Yeah, you know, there's just never enough Kevin Love talk to go around the Celtics blogosphere. But Al Horford, I'm not going to say I'm frustrated the deal never came together, because he's not a guy I would have relinquished the Brooklyn pick for. I don't think any of these guys I would have let that go. Any of the guys we've heard about this week, at least. DeMarcus Cousins is another case, but that was never a possibility. But any of the guys this week, I would have never let that Brooklyn pick go. But if they could have swung something for Horford, and I was talking yesterday, the deal I wanted to see was Jared Sollinger and David Lee's expiring contract. And those are two expiring contracts, of course. And the Boston and Dallas pick that the Celtics own right now heading to Atlanta in exchange for Horford, who's, of course, an expiring contract, and Kent Bazemore, who I'm a big fan of. He's been growing as a player for a number of years. Now, that's the deal I kind of wanted to see come together, but it never seemed like the Celtics and Hawks got too far in anything.
No, I think you're right, Bobby. And as you know, as I told you on Twitter, I thought that was that's a great trade. I love that trade. I think we're doing maybe we loved it too much for Atlanta to pull the trigger. But one trade that did go through, and you probably saw this just before you came on with us, Jeff Green in the former Celtics category, Doc acquiring Jeff Green for Lance Stephenson and a number one pick. So there's so many different layers to this. This one's like an onion. Okay? One, obviously, we got the former Celtics angle in all this. Two, we got Memphis that is that dumpster fire. And three, we got a future draft pick there. A lot there to think about there, Bobby.
Oh, Jeff Green, don't even get me started on him. One of my least favorite Celtics ever in my lifetime, of course, which isn't very long, going back to 1998. But, man, Jeff Green, I've tried to boil down Jeff Green for a long time now, try to kind of figure out what his problem is, because we know all the talent in the world. Player helped them out even back in 2013 during their playoff run. But what I've boiled it down to with Jeff Green is that the guy just doesn't like to play basketball. I mean, that's all I can really think of. This is just a job to him, because he just seems so removed. Even seeing back with his Celtics days, you never knew when he was going to show up. He'd have one great game, like maybe once in a 15-game span. But, man, he was just so frustrating. And, you know, Doc Rivers has loved bringing the Celtics players back to L.A., and this is another example of that. They're giving up a first-round pick, I believe, right?
Yeah. I haven't looked at it. There's got to be some protections on that, though, I would assume.
Yeah, there are some protections, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're not giving up much with Lance Stephenson, and if there are a lot of protections on that first-round pick, which I'd imagine there would be, it makes some sense. But, man, I don't think Jeff Green's going to really propel them above where they are right now.
I got a great Jeff Green story, and it's interesting about how the fact that Doc Rivers is bringing back all these players that he used to play for the Celtics. It's amazing he's bringing players in there that he never really liked. If we, of course, remember Glenn Davis a few years ago. I remember actually, I'll give you a story that I had. I was talking with Armond Hill probably 3 years ago now. I'm not going to use the old people, the way people in the mainstream media do when they say, oh, well, I was talking with a former coach. I'll say it right now. I had a conversation with Armond Hill, who was a Celtics assistant coach, and now he's the assistant coach out there with Doc in Los Angeles. And we were just sort of reminiscing about the days. And of course, remember trade deadline deals when it involves Jeff Green, 3:03 Eastern time on February back in 2011. We remember Jeff Green being traded to the Celtics. And Armond Hill, we all know that season tanked after the Jeff Green trade. Armond Hill.
Don't remind me.
No matter how much you think about that trade and how much that season really was submarined by that trade, it cannot be emphasized enough how much that trade just destroyed the chemistry of that team. Armond Hill, there was a game against the Clippers, I believe, early March in 2011, where DeAndre Jordan had something like 6 dunks in the first quarter. Armond right there said point blank that we all knew, like I guess we as in the coaching staff, we all knew right then and there. The team was the number one seed in the conference at the time. We all knew right then and there the team was done. And here it is, right? Yeah, Jeff Green's going back to play for Doc Rivers. But it's just a very interesting story to me because we all know how much Green messed that season up. But the guys, they've still talked about it to this day, how much that season was sabotaged by that trade, how much the chemistry was impacted by that trade, and how they knew pretty much right away. And as I referenced the Clippers game, that was, I believe, only about 5 games after the trade itself.
Well, you know, it's funny you bring up chemistry. And, you know, that's a big reason I didn't see the Celtics doing too much today is the chemistry of this team we have on hand right now. And, you know, the fact that they did nothing today really speaks to how great of a position the team is in. I mean, that Brooklyn picks gives them a chance to contend this year, or contend being a relative term. Of course, they're probably not going to be a finals team. But
entertaining is the word I would use.
Yeah, entertaining. And, you know, they're extremely entertaining. Every game is a must event with this team right now. Regular season basketball usually not being a big deal among the general public, but I feel like this team has really made regular season basketball games an event to see. I mean, between that great Clippers game before the All-Star break, the Warriors game that I was in attendance for, one of the most dynamite games I've ever seen. They're a fun team, you know, they like playing together. Even from practice today, I believe, they said, you know, we don't want to see any players shipped out of here. We want to keep fighting, proving people wrong. And Jay Crowder said it himself, you know, they may not have any superstars in here right now, but as a team, they've kind of served as one collective superstar this season. And, you know, that wasn't something Danny Ainge wanted to mess up just to pick up, you know, Dwight Howard or something like that.
Bobby, you know, looking at the salary situation coming into the summer, I want to know what your thoughts are in terms of, you know, there's going to be the guys out there, the Horfords, the Dwight Howards, the big ticket items. How do you think that the spending will go this summer? Do you think that it's going to go as crazy as everyone predicts, or do you think there's going to be some as we're looking ahead? Maybe some restraint, because obviously not only does the cap then go up a lot the following summer, but the type, the caliber of player that you're going to come out in the summer of 17 is going to be even that much more. How do you foresee that playing itself out?
Well, I don't think the Celtics are going to break the bank to just make some signings. You know, we saw Amir Johnson this summer. It was a big money contract for 1 year, but 1 year was the key. It's just a holdover contract for a guy who's going to help them this season. You know, they're not going to pursue any guys like today that are going to help them maybe, but not really change the franchise. And I don't think the Celtics are a free agent team, and they never really have been. I think the key for them is going to be draft night. You know, you're going to have a lot of different players on the table, like a Ben Simmons or an Ingram, who might be able to change the franchise. And there's going to be temptations out there, again, to move the pick if they are a number two or a number three or maybe even the number one pick. So I think that's going to be Ainge's big decision this summer is, you know, are we going to try to draft our star or are we going to try to move one? Because I've talked to him before, and I think it's going to be a topic that doesn't go away, is DeMarcus Cousins. If DeMarcus Cousins comes here today skill-wise, he's going to change the franchise. But are you going to give up a chance to draft Ben Simmons or Ingram or someone like that to get Cousins here? I think that might end up being a big decision that they end up facing. But as far as free agents go, Kevin Durant not coming to Boston. And beyond him, Al Horford intrigues me as a piece, but I think there was a better chance of him ending up here through a trade than through a signing, because the money's going to be flying everywhere this offseason. And even though the Celtics have the cap space advantage, it's not as big of an advantage as it was last year with the cap going up for everyone, of course.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. It's going to be quite an interesting mix, because usually there's only a limited number of players. And even the whole conversation about Kevin Durant possibly going to Golden State, like, that just scares me. If that happens, the NBA is almost going to be unwatchable, because you're just going to have an undefeated team or a close to undefeated team year after year. It's going to be brutal. So on the one hand, it's really great for the players, and, you know, it gives teams flexibility. On the other hand, if a true superpower, I mean unprecedented, to the big three in Boston and then the copycat in Miami, you know, it's going to be trouble. It's going to be trouble for the competitiveness in the league. So, you know, I'm hoping we don't quite go that way. So listen, Bobby, we're going to wrap because we're going to close the show and take a couple of more callers, but I got to give you a shout out because you have to be one of the most active people on Twitter I follow anyway, for sure. But I think maybe even more active than 98% of the Twitter population. And I just want all the listeners to make sure that they're following you at @RealBobManning. So, you know, nice job on the show today. We need to have you on as a guest of either Celtics Beat or Celtics Stuff Live or both here in the future. I wish we'd had some big, big announcements that we could have sunk in our teeth into, but you've done a nice job of kind of setting up our closing conversation, which is going to be talking a little bit about what moves might happen this summer in free agency and how not doing anything and standing pat at the deadline is going to influence, you know, the Celtics' chances of bringing in a big name. So Bobby Manning, everybody, from Celtics Blog. Bobby, thanks so much, man.
Hey, thank you, guys. You know, I love to tweet. Love the Celtics team. It's been a ride this year, and hopefully they're going to give us more entertainment through the second half. You know, the big thing I'm going to look for is how big of a destination can this lovable group of guys make Boston? You know, we've never seen them make the big signings in the past, but depending on how far they go, you might just see the Celtics team become a destination if you guys look at this summer.
Yeah, I think that the big draw is the coach, and we're going to leap off right there from the interview with Bobby, and I'm going to take it over to Larry and John and just say, you know, I absolutely agree, and I think that Brad Stevens is certainly the draw, but one of the reasons I wanted them to potentially even move the Brooklyn pick, and I know it's who's available and at what cost, and I understand Gordon Hayward was a long shot because, you know, he's coming on in Utah, and Utah doesn't maybe – quite likely never even considered giving him up. But a guy like that, I think, you know, and we talked about this on the last show, John, but, you know, I think a guy like that winds up showing, well, what the Wizards tried to do with the Markieff Morris. It says, hey, look, we're still moving in the right direction. We have these assets. And I just think it makes the team even more attractive in the offseason. They have enough room to probably sign two big free agents with the cap room that's coming on, and considering, you know, the options that they have with Amir Johnson, et cetera, I know that they can clear that space. They still have a lot of flexibility, but I guess the issue is so does just about every other team in the league. So, you know, let's start with John, but John, I mean, do you think that the team missed out on an opportunity to make the team better next year by acquiring at least somebody at this deadline, even if we still held on to the Brooklyn pick?
Well, that's what all this was about anyway, in my mind. None of this was about this year.
Right.
or if it was, it was a colossal mistake. But thankfully, Danny Ainge doesn't think that way. No, this was all of this, whether it's Horford or Dwight Howard or whatever, this is all about next year. And you know, the reticence to get, just as we saw from Steve Wolpeff's piece last night, the reticence to get to spend even a modest amount to get a Horford or a Howard was just a small piece of the puzzle to decide whether or not you want to get those guys, because it's the contract. The contract. That's where all of this is resting. And so when you've got a situation where, you know, now we're past the deadline, what are you going to do? Are you going to spend that money? Are you going to go out and try to beat someone on the cost factor of it? Or, you know, really, as I think we've heard from a lot of the guests we've talked to today, is that it's still about the trades. And it's still about, yes, we have the issue now is we don't have to worry about salary matching. We just accept the player's salary in whole, but we need to have the assets to go out at least to be able to, make it a deal worthy of at least the trade value, not the cost, not the financial piece, but at least the trade value. And, you know, now I think, you know, that's the world we're going to be living with is that sort of, scenario. David Lee isn't in the picture. David Lee is going to be a buyout candidate. It's how good can we get that draft pick to be? And can we get our players raise their values relatively to this playoff run to where we can trade some of these guys and use that cap space accordingly?
And I think what we learned most about today was the incredible trust that the fans do have in Danny Ainge. I think it was almost like a win-win no matter what in terms of perception. If he makes a deal, it was a great trade by Danny Ainge, moving the team in the right direction. They got to make a run at this. And if he doesn't make a deal, it's by God, the Celtics are in a good shape. And it's probably just the case of, oh, well, there probably wasn't just not enough out there. So that's really my really real takeaway that I've had today, and really my takeaway of just this whole thing as we're talking about free agency going into this year. We're now already talking about the offseason solely due to the fact that Danny did not make the trade. And we all, it's because we assume that there wasn't something that was viable enough out there.
Well, and let's throw this into the mix too. We still have one more opportunity to see Danny make a move before free agency, and that's draft night. So there's definitely still an opportunity to show that he's serious. And well, it's the offseason, but it's still before free agency, just like with Ray Allen. And I think it matters. I think maybe some groundwork was laid at the deadline, which often happens, that might not fruition until we hit the draft. And one of the reasons for that is I think teams that maybe are willing to give up a guy like a Blake Griffin want to know that Brooklyn pick from the Celtics, not only did we want to know where it was landing, but if you traded Blake Griffin today and then that pick went all Yi Jin Lian on you and it was a number five and it wasn't Ben Simmons, you know that as Doc Rivers, you're going to get lambasted in L.A. And the truth is a lot of these deals can still happen. And since the Celtics have an eye on the future, they didn't have to do anything that wasn't a bargain today, knowing that, hey, those assets are still going to be those assets on draft night. We can still make those moves and position ourselves before the free agency madhouse and show free agents that we're a destination, especially by not changing the chemistry for down the stretch. Because if this club continues to overperform, and I'm just going to say it, they're overperforming. I mean, for the experience level that they are overperforming. And if they continue to overperform and they make a showing in the postseason and then they add a piece on draft night, I think they can be very successful in luring a free agent. I mean, boy, would I just love, you know, Kevin Durant, wouldn't we all? But I think the odds of that are actually pretty low. I know there's the mystique, and I know Elrod talked about it, but I want to throw it back to you guys. What do you think about that? I mean, do you think that there's even a chance in hell that Kevin Durant ends up in Boston this summer if all the things that need to happen come, you know, fall into place?
Cue Vince McMahon's music.
I mean, I think so. There's always a chance. I mean,
so you're saying there's a chance.
How much of a chance was there to get Kevin Durant? Right? I think that they were poised to make a deal
They can't trade for Kevin Durant right now, but they have a deal that they can make to get that second piece. There's no question that they have the pieces right now to make that deal. And it's a question, can you find a partner? Can you find that person to go back to the first thing I was talking about? Find that person, that trust. And can you, then was able to find a guy in Seattle who made a deal we didn't have that same amount of trust with. But they have to find that partner. And maybe it's Chris Griffin with Cleveland. Maybe they get through the playoff round and they say, look, this is 2 years in a row. It's not working with Love. We got to give up. I still think that's where they're going to go back to first. But I maybe it is Blake. You know, I think we're going to see in both Cleveland and in LA's opportunities, they're both at the end of the road with that core. And they're going to have to make a deal and really shift up what they're doing if they're not successful this year. But we'll only see, though, whether or not how they do, because that's the other piece. It's not to see how we do. How do these teams who have these stars that could be free, how do they play as we get through May and June?
Yep. All right, we have one caller we're going to fit in, and I agree, and I definitely still, you know, with the Vince McMahon comment, we're going to have to circle back and get Larry's opinion. But, you know, we've got to bring on this diehard. There's a diehard in the Facebook chat rooms, and, you know, everybody's got to definitely listen to Celtics Beat. That's been killing it. Celtics Stuff Live, we're back. Ticket giveaways galore. And, you know, obviously it's all about the listeners and the support that we get for the show. So we're going to go to Nicola from Celtic Nation, Italia. Nicola, it's Justin and John and Larry H. Russell. And what are your thoughts? We got about 10 minutes before we're going to wrap, but we had to fit you in.
Hi, guys. And thank you to let me into the show. I'm calling from Italy, as you know, as you said. I'm happy to be in the show. And I'm quite happy for what we didn't do. We didn't bring Dwight Howard in our team. I was really scared about that rumor. And I'm enjoying the process of the Celtics. And I prefer that we go forward with this team and we see what's happening in the future. I won't be so negative about Kevin Durant not joining the Celtics. We have to see. Who thought that KG was coming to Boston before he came? Nobody, no? So we have to enjoy the process, be patient, and trust Danny for what he's doing, which is great, I think.
And post on the Celtics Nation Italia Facebook group while you're at it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's my thought about this trade deadline. And, well, of course, I would have been happy to see the Celtic making a big move. A big move was saying bringing a player of 27 years old like Paul George, like Blake Griffin, and joining a young team, and staying here for 10 years. But this guy wasn't available in the market, so I'm happy that Danny Ainge didn't make a move just to make a move, to make people happy.
That is a good point. They would have had to overpay to pry anybody like that away, and I'm not even sure that they had the ability to overpay. Because, you know, you talk about a team like Indiana, they're not going to give up Paul George for, you know, a bunch of young players and some picks. They've already got a player who's established. There's no point in that. And they're in contention. I mean, really, you know, the reason names like Boogie Cousins comes up is because they really have no chance of making the playoffs. And so it's at some point, does the team hit the reset button? And you talk about trying to get players less than 27 years old. That's also near impossible. I still would have liked to see them make like an Al Horford move, just because I think it gives them some flexibility in the offseason. It shows that they're serious and they have a glut of picks. And let's face it, when we talk about this team being attractive, and what John was saying before we brought you on the call, Nicola, was he was saying, hey, look, basically, this what this was all about was positioning for the offseason. I think bringing in somebody like Al Horford, sliding into that number two seed, maybe, you know, starting to, you know, throw some punches at the Toronto Raptors and really get it done and, you know, slap them around, because they've kicked the Celtics' butts, you know, all season long. And I think, you know, I think for the Celtics to really get some respect on this next level headed down the stretch, they got to punch back. They got to punch back, and they got to punch back hard against the Raptors. If they do that, and they're looked at as an overachieving but still second only to the Cleveland Cavaliers in the East, then I think they're really riding something in the free agency.
Yeah, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. But it all depends in how much they put the price on Horford. Because the problem when you have a pick like the Nets, everybody wants that pick. So
no, they're going to take the Celtics picks. I agree. They have to take the Celtics picks if we're going to do a deal.
Yeah, because I saw a report that the Celtics inquire about the guy of Miami, Whiteside, and they hit back that they wanted the next pick for him. No, so everyone, I think, the Celtics tried to get, they wanted that pick, and I'm not going to throw that pick other than Paul George, those type of player. So I'm really happy for what that it's ended. I really don't like this period of the year, because people arguing for nothing, for just rumors, and not even know if the rumor is true or not. And I'm looking forward for the play game for tomorrow night. That's what I like, and to see what's happening in the future. But let me say that I really enjoy your shows, your beats in it, your Celtic beats and your stuff, Celtic stuff. And thanks so much for what you bring to the table every single week. Okay, guys?
Well, thank you for listening from across the pond. The Terminator from Italia, everybody. This is, I love it when we get, you know, we used to talk to somebody, was it Fabio that we used to talk to from Italy?
Probably it's Fabio Anderle.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Fabio Anderle.
Fabio Anderle is one of the main Celtics guys over here in Italy. He wrote also histories about the Celtics. He used to run a blog about the Celtics. I know the guy. He's a great guy.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. I just love that the Celtics fan base is international. I mean, we used to get calls from South America. We used to get calls from Australia. Obviously, as I said, we got calls from Italy, but I just absolutely love it. So great call. Everybody definitely check out the Facebook page. And, you know, we've got about 4 minutes left in the show. And Larry, I want to get this back to you about positioning for the off season and trying to land a big name like Durant, because we really have to put this to rest for the rest of, you know, for the remainder of the season, because now this team is what it is for 2016 playoff push. This is what we're living with, and they've been a ton of fun to watch. There's a part of me that's glad that no changes were made, because if they did make a move, we'd never know just how far this squad could go. They were making us crazy a month and a half ago, Larry. Now they're fun to watch. They're entertaining. They're having some success. And, you know, we're looking at the offseason. So let's close the book until the postseason is over. Let's close the book on this today on this show and say, you know, what do you think? Did they miss an opportunity to position themselves better? And you know, if they do things the right way, draft night, they might still be able to make some moves to position for the offseason. Any chance Kevin Durant or another big name signs with Boston in the offseason because of what they're doing now?
Like I said, you just have to cue Vinnie Mac's music circa 1999, I guess. Or you can even do the old, I think I did. I actually used the reference, I think, on my older show. But what I can go back to that call that Nick made regarding Monroe. And this was what I was really talking about last year. And I was talking with Nick about it with Monroe. I didn't like how Danny decided to, I don't want to say it, cheap is probably the word. I don't know if that's a pretty unfair word. It's an extreme word. I didn't like how they didn't make the push at Monroe for that very reason, only because Monroe would have had a lot of value going forward here in 16 and 17 when that cap raised. And also because more teams now have this cap space. There's really no sense signing a guy like Amir Johnson to roll that cap number over and say, oh, we'll take a better crack at it in 2016 when hopefully this is a team that could possibly make a playoff push and be attractive for more free agents, because just by playing the numbers game alone, it's just going to be that much harder to sign anyone to come to Boston, whether or not you want to play this whole no free agents come to Boston nonsense, which is actually not really true. There's not enough historical evidence to draw that claim in my eyes. But I just go with math alone. You're now going to be competing with whatever it is, 24, 25 teams, when as opposed to last year. If you jumped on a guy like Monroe, we don't know exactly what happened. We do know that it canceled his workout. But if they did jump on a guy like that, I just think it would have been a lot that much better rather than rolling with, say, oh, geez, well, hopefully they get Kevin Durant, because I just see 0% chance of that.
I think it's highly unlikely. I'm 100% with you. But I also think that the team has to do everything they can to try to get there. But there is the other argument that bringing in these young players and buying into the culture and just ingraining them into Celtics tradition right out of
Justin,
the start,
it's
could
culture.
Have positive,
it's
positive
culture.
Benefits.
Culture.
Is that better? Dude, I haven't lived in New England too long. It's totally gone. I barely had an old Yesha, wicked Maine accent, but it's gone. It's long gone.
Well, you're going to need to know it, because tomorrow they're not playing Utah. They're playing Utah.
Utah.
I like our matchup with our gods against their gods.
Guys, this has been a fantastic show. And, when we get to postseason, the three of us are going to have to get back together, you know, as we watch this team try to climb up the Eastern Conference to the conference finals, hopefully. And, it's been a ton of fun. I definitely have enjoyed it immensely, and good calls. And I can't leave without saying, how to win these tickets to the Orlando game on March 21st through Celtic Stuff Live. Just listen to us every week. And then all you have to do is retweet or comment the show with hashtag CSL Returns. That's plural, by the way, because I've looked up a few CSL Return and you don't quite make it. So CSL Returns, hashtag CSL Returns. And then Larry, tell them how they can win your tickets. And they got about a week left before, or no, just a few days left
just
to
a
enter
few days.
By following you on Twitter, right?
Yes, follow at @CLNS_LHR. And of course, we're giving away a lot more games. Facebook.com/CelticsBeat for all the details. We take you right through 2016.
Awesome. Hey, and everybody, make sure you're checking out the post-game shows on CLNS Radio. For those of you tuning in live, it's right there on Blog Talk Radio. Am I not giving you the accent you're looking for?
No, I just said that they are. Right. Everyone's telling us to. We already know that they are, though.
I thought you were correcting me because I didn't lay out the accent again.
No, no. I was correcting you because you were underestimating the great CLNS audience.
BTR. All right. Well, I guess we should wrap it. And, everybody, thanks a lot for listening. I know we didn't have any big deals today, but this team is going to be hella exciting to watch the rest of the season. John, any closing thoughts?
No, but you went hella. I don't know. Is that heller? Or I just was trying to figure out if we were keeping
hella going. Is Southern California. That is Lakers fan, by the way. That is, that Kobe is hella, whatever you want to call it. I mean, come on.
But what if you say,
I don't think I've ever heard hella in Boston. I have heard it out in Los Angeles since circa 2006, and it ain't pretty.
Yeah, that sounds about right. My buddy from San Francisco is the one that I picked that up from.
Well, there you go. Perfect.
Yeah.
No, look, I mean, I just urge you all, you missed a great game last night with my Blue Devils being the Tar Heels, fifth-ranked Tar Heels. You all need to start, since we're going all over the country here with different colloquial slang here, y'all need to go pick up and start watching some Duke basketball and watch Brandon Ingram. You need LSU, check out Ben Simmons. Get on YouTube and figure out what Dragon Bender's doing. Chris Dunn. There are guys out there right now we need to pay attention to, because the draft is going to be here. And we're nearing March Madness here. We got just a handful of days to go here. We're going to have conference tournaments, NCAA tournaments, and it's going to be crazy. And, oh, by the way, the Celtics are making a real run at the 2 seed. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun for everybody. I can't wait.
And I'm very excited, too, because I really do want to see the Celtics get that star. But if you don't mind me, guys, I do have to kind of get away to dinner here. So this is the perfect time to wrap the show. And, of course, Larry H. Russell was bought, sold, and paid for by American Farmers Network. A consumer should know where their food comes from and the standards that should be adhered to. And American Farmers Network's meats are produced by the network of small family farmers who are committed to the most natural and compassionate approach to ranching. Their production standards go above and beyond even USDA regulations, and all of their certified organic beef is 100% grass-fed, from poultry to pork, and of course, beef. AFN's family ranchers are committed to providing you and your family with the healthiest, most nutritious meat so you can live the healthy lifestyle in which you have a right to. So what are you waiting for? Because I'm waiting for no longer, guys. Log on to AmericanFarmersNetwork.com and signing out right now. Thank you very much for joining us on the CLNS Radio Celtics special edition of live coverage of the NBA trade deadline.
Yes, sir.
Remember when a small business needed a landline? Today, landlines are a thing of the past with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. On the road, at the beach, or at home, Grasshopper helps you grow your business. Get all the features of a business phone system and the freedom of a cell phone with our iPhone and Android apps. Features include multiple extensions for your team, calls forwarded to your mobile phones, voicemails transcribed and emailed, and so much more. See how it works at grasshopper.com, the entrepreneur's phone system.